chapter 5. So we can remember from last week some of the things that we've studied so far in the first four chapters of the book of Genesis, and we continue on and with some the themes that have already made themselves self-evident in the book of Genesis. Before we dive in again, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, again, we come before you. Father, we cannot pray too much. Lord Jesus, even as our Sunday school lesson talked about Daniel coming to you and fasting and praying. Father, I pray that we are not distracted. Holy Spirit, I pray that we would stay focused on you and on your word and, Father, the message that you have for us. Father God, I pray that your will is done this morning. Speak to us. It's in Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so if you remember from chapter 4 in the book of Genesis, we saw the pinnacle event in chapter 4, which was Cain and Abel coming before God to present their offering to God. God accepted Abel's sacrifice. God rejected Cain's sacrifice. Cain got jealous, killed Abel, and y'all remember what happened from there, right? Like the wheels fell off from there. So Cain was cursed. The ground would not bring forth fruit for him. So he was cursed to wander. And so Cain went to the land of Nod, found his wife, which we kind of talked about that a lot last week, that it had to be his sister or his cousin, right? So all of those we talked about last week. And we saw many of the descendants of Cain. So we went all the way to a guy named Lamech. If you remember that, Lamech was the first guy that was listed in the Bible that took two wives. You remember that? So he took two wives, and he said to his wives that he killed a younger guy, he killed a soldier. And he said, if Cain is cursed, whoever hurts Cain is cursed seven times. Whoever hurts Lamech, he says, 70 times seven. So all of, Lamech, again, the descendants of Cain, is the seventh from Adam. And in chapter 5, we're going to see a few more descendants. Now, have y'all had your relatives, or how many of y'all do genealogy? Anybody here do genealogy? All right. So, I love to hear about genealogy. Now, my mother-in-law did genealogy for years. And though it's interesting, sometimes, do y'all do genealogy? Do the people you're telling about it sometimes seem uninterested? You know, you're saying, man, this is important stuff. And they're like, yeah, whatever. You know, it is very important. You know, it's very important what God lists here in chapter 4, talking about the descendants of Adam through the line of Cain, and the descendants of Adam in chapter 5 through the descendants of a guy named Seth that we are going to talk about here in just a minute. Now, who else comes from Seth? Adam, Seth, Shem, Jesus, right? So that's why this is so important. You know, God talks about all through the Old Testament bringing a Messiah. And he talks about the line from which the Messiah is going to come. So the Bible here is giving us an accurate depiction of the line from which Jesus came. Now, all the way back in Genesis in chapter 3, the pinnacle event in Genesis in chapter 3 was what? The fall, right? The fall of man. The sin from Adam and Eve in the garden where they took the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Alright. So God said in chapter 2, he said, of any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat thereof. For in the day you eat thereof you shall surely die. Right? Okay. And then they ate. He kicked them out of the garden. We saw that already. And then God put a cherubim there with a flaming sword at the gates of the Garden of Eden and said nobody's going to enter. Not because he didn't want them to be in the Garden of Eden, but because he didn't want them to eat from the tree of life. And they'd have to live with themselves forever. Right? Live in our sinful state forever. And God, even with death, God provides hope. Right? So that is a theme so far that we've seen in the book of Genesis. Even though there's death, God provides hope. Even though there's sin, God provides salvation. So all through the Bible, again, from the very beginning, from the book of Genesis in chapter 1, we see a hope. And that we're going to see that hope even in the genealogy we saw from generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. Verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, and after his image, and called his name Seth. Alright, we saw already that he had two sons prior to that, right? Cain and Abel. Abel's dead, Cain is exiled, and I talked about how this is a test, right? So if you pass the test, you can have some church candy on the way out. Okay, now that famous Jewish historian that we've talked about so many times, he talked about how records show that Adam and Eve had, do y'all remember about how many sons Adam and Eve had?
60.
About 30 sons and about 30 daughters, right? So about 60 children. Now, some of y'all might have a lot of kids, but nobody in here's got 60, right? No. All right. So about 60 children. And that guy Josephus, again, not a believer, but he wrote the history from the records that he had access to. All right. So Adam was about 130 when he had Seth. Right? When him and Eve had Seth, he's about 130. Okay. Hang on a minute. So, verse 4 again. The days that Adam and Eve had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. I've totally misread that, and I'm sorry. Adam lived 130 years, begat a son, called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, there we go, the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years. And he begat sons and daughters. So he lived another 800 years after the 130 years old he was, when he had Seth. Can you imagine living 930 years? Now, as Willie was walking down the steps, he's like, I'm slow because I'm old. Now, he might be old, but you ain't 930 years old. Right? In the Old Testament, pre-flood time, we're nothing, right? I mean, we're not even close to middle age yet. Okay. So they begat sons and daughters. Verse 6. And Seth lived, or verse 5, and all the days of Adam were 930 years, and then he died. Now that's an important statement we're going to see a bunch in this chapter. And then he died. God created Adam and Eve, and he said that creation was very good. But in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And so he lived 930 years, and then he died. And Seth, verse 6, and Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. So he was 105 before he ever had his first kid. Think about that for just a minute. 105. So Seth has his first son, Enos, at 105. And Seth lived, after he begat Enos, 807 years. And he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years. And then what? And then he died. Alright, if you look in the Gospel of John, you don't have to go there. But in the Gospel of John, I think it's in chapter 8, John's talking to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees are all talking about, man, we've never been in slavery. Abraham was our father. And Jesus told him, he's like, if Abraham was your father, you would do what Abraham does. But you were of your father the devil. And besides that, your ancestors ate manna in the desert, and they're dead. So death here is a huge theme in all through the Bible. We have death, but we also have hope, and we have life. So we're seeing here that even though they lived 900 some odd years, they still died. And rest assured, 10 out of 10 people die. Everybody follows the exact same pattern. Right? Nobody is exempt. So, Seth lived after he got Enos 800 years, and then verse 8, 912 years, and then he died. Verse 9. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days for 905 years and he died. All right, so far just about everybody's living to be about 900 years old, right? Now, in your family tree, just yell it out. In your family tree, what's the oldest relative that you know of?
Uncle John.
8?
104.
Almost 100? All right, anybody over 102? You got y'all related to anybody over 102? You got somebody over 102? That's good. I'm not related to anybody 102, I don't think. If I am, I'm sure I'm going to get corrected when I get home. But I don't think I have anybody that old. But so far, all of them were about 900 years old. Right? All the days of Enos were not, verse 11, all the days of Enos were 905 years, and then he died. Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. So, and Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years. And then he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. Are y'all bored yet? Just like when you're hearing somebody talk about genealogy, right? You're like, oh, whatever. But again, important, right? And it's not exaggerated. And we're going to talk about this in just a little bit. Verse 16. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And Mahalalel, all the days of him were 895 years, and then he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. Now let's get interesting. Now we know somebody we remember. Right? Anybody remember Enoch? Here we go. Genesis in chapter 5. This here is good stuff. Okay. Verse 19. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. And then he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. Now, we all remember Methuselah, right? If you don't know how long Methuselah lived, we're going to read it here in just a minute. But whenever we talk about somebody being really old, we're like, man, they're as old as Methuselah. Right? So, because Methuselah is old. Okay. So, Enoch lived verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and he begat sons and daughters. So he had Methuselah, and then he lived 300 more years. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Well, that is not very long. Isn't that weird how our context changes our opinion? You know, we read all of those 900, 900, 800, and then 360 years. Well, man, he died young. It seems that way, right? He died young. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. Now, this is the first statement we see that somebody walked with God besides Adam. Do you remember Adam? Adam walked with God. We see Enoch walking with God. And I love what it says there. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not. And God took him. Man, there is sin and there is death, but there is hope. Because God wants to walk with his children. And you're one of his children. God wants to walk with you. Right? That doesn't just mean God does want us to be in his house, right? He wants us to be in his house. He wants us to sing praises. He wants us to pray. He wants us to read. He wants us to do all of those things. But he wants to walk with us. And Enoch walked with God. That means every day, all day. God was on his mind. God was in his heart. God was on his lips. All day, all the time. You know, not that he was preaching God every word that came out of his mouth, but he was living to the glory of God, in honor of God, right? Fellowshipping with God. And he walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him. Man, don't you... Doesn't that sound wonderful? Which part? The walking with God or God taking us? Right. Well, we want God to take us, but it's a lot harder to walk with God, right? He walked with God, and then he was not. For God took him. And God didn't take him before he had Methuselah. So Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. Now, we just read about Lamech in chapter 4, didn't we? Lamech was the seventh from Adam through Cain. And now we have Lamech that is the seventh through Adam through Seth. So Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and then he died. The oldest guy that we see listed in the Bible right here, Methuselah, 969 years. So, what's coming? We know what's coming, right? We all know what's coming. So, verse 28. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah. Now, so far, all we've seen is death except for Enoch. And God took, you know, Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, for God took him. And then, before Enoch was taken up by God, he had Methuselah. And then Methuselah had Lamech, and Lamech had Noah. We've seen death, we've seen long life and death. Verse 29, he called his name Noah, saying, the same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord has cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and then he died. So, we see Lamech, he gave, or through him came Noah. Because they needed comfort. Now, if you had to live with yourself for 900 years, would you need comfort? I would need comfort, right? I'd get tired looking at myself. We all, you know, our shorter lives are a gift from God, right? One of the things it gives us is it gives us an urgency, right? When we're like 15, it seems like we're going to live forever. You remember when you were 15, right? You thought, man, people that were 30 were old. You remember that, right? I remember that. So, at our time, it seems the time we have left seems forever. But when we get a little older, you know, many of y'all are older than I am. When you get older, it seems like your life just went by just that fast, right? You know, and that puts an urgency in our heart to know that though we lived, we were born, we had children, you know, we lived on this earth 70 or 75 or 80 years, and then we die. We realize that 80 years is nothing but a blip. It's a vapor, as James calls it, right? You know, James says our life is but a vapor, that it's here today and it's gone tomorrow, or it's here this morning and it's gone this afternoon. But we see here that Lamech, when he had Noah, we needed hope and comfort. And you know, Lamech did not know that Noah was going to do what Noah did. Right? Noah didn't know that Noah was going to do what Noah did. God called him, and we're going to get to that. We're not going to get to that today, but we're going to get to that. Alright? We see these generations now. Talking about the Word of God, we've spoken about the accuracy of God's Word through creation. Talking about how in the morning and the evening were the first day, and the second day, all the way through the sixth day, how they're regular 24-hour days, how the Bible is accurate, how the Bible is literal, how God created the earth in 6 days, he rested on the seventh day, how God created Adam from the dust of the earth, how he created Eve from the rib from Adam, all of those things, right? That this is not a, you know, they're not, it's not hyperbole, it's not, you know, a story to make a point. It's accurate. Just like it was accurate that Adam lived 930 years, that Methuselah lived 969 years. You think to yourself, why, how in the world can that be? Well, I don't know for sure. But I've got a couple of good guesses, and they're not from my own brain, right? Just because I've read things that people wrote that were way smarter than me. One of them is, what so far has it not done on the earth? It has not rained on the earth. Right? Some people say, again, much smarter than me, that since it hadn't rained, the atmosphere It did not deteriorate us. It did not age us to the point where we could live hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Another point of view, which is probably not exclusive, but probably in conjunction with the atmosphere, is that Adam and Eve were created what? Perfect. No deficiencies. Right? No genetic deficiencies. No anything. They were perfect. They were not created to die. Right? Their hearts weren't made to stop. Their hearts were made to continue. Their brains weren't made to forget and to deteriorate and to have Alzheimer's and all of those things. They were created to do that. Right? They were created in perfection. And the longer we get, the further we get from perfection, the weaker we get, right?
Amen.
You know, so our deficiencies continue to multiply and magnify. So we are like way far from Adam and Eve, right? We're like 8,000 years from Adam and Eve, 6,000 to 8,000 years from Adam and Eve. There's a lot of deficiencies that multiply in those 6,000 or 8,000 years. That's why we don't live to be 900 years old, right? Now, we talked a little bit last week about Cain and his wife being either his sister or his cousin. Those deficiencies, again, within the family, they multiply, they magnify. That's why God, in the Old Testament, he forbid marrying in the close family, right? That's exactly why he did that. So the farther we get from Adam and Eve, the shorter our lives get. And God's going to talk about this here in just a second. About the length of life. We can see all this, and it's not the fact that they lived hundreds and hundreds of years. It's not a reason to say, well, the Bible can't be right because nobody can ever live 900 years. Well, if that's the case, nobody could ever rise from the dead. And if nobody could ever rise from the dead, we might as well shut the door and go home. If God can raise Jesus from the dead, God can raise Lazarus from the dead. If you were here on Sunday night and Wednesday night in the book of Revelation, if God can raise us from the dead on that last day, by golly, we can live 900 years.
Amen.
You know, the millennial reign after the second coming is for how long?
A thousand
years, right? The millennial reign, it's 1,000 years, right? If we're alive then, we're going to live that whole 1,000 years. You know, we're not going to die. So we're going to go right back to the same length, age, the same longevity. And when we get to heaven, there is no death.
Amen.
So we're going to live for all of eternity. To live as we were created to live. Not as we are stained with sin. You know, the curse of sin is not just the ground. It's not just the sweat of our brow to eat for men, the pain of childbirth for women. It's not just that. It's the fact that we die. That's the real curse, is death. So all of these things that happen in all this length of time, you know, he called his name Noah again, verse 29, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands, because the ground which the Lord has cursed, and Lamech lived, and he begat Noah 195 years, and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and then he died. And Noah was 500 years old. And Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth." So Noah was 500 years old before he had his three sons. 500 years old. But his name in the Hebrew does not mean comfort, but he named him and he said, "He is here for our comfort because of the curse." And those are the words that the Holy Spirit inspired him to speak, knowing that Noah was going to build an ark for the salvation of all mankind, because God was going to judge this earth. We know that God judged the earth, right? We know what's going to happen in chapter 6, and I'm anxious for next week, Lord willing, to dive into chapter 6. But we see all of that. We all see it all come to fruition. Now think about all the sons and daughters we read from Adam and Eve and from Cain. You remember all the descendants we read last week in chapter 4 from Cain. And all the descendants we read in chapter 5 from Seth. And all of those people coming for all of those years. Now, let me ask a question for you. Now, do you think Adam knew Noah? Well, if you follow the genealogy here, certainly knew Noah's father. He certainly knew Noah's grandfather, Methuselah. Now, so Methuselah could have got the word. I mean, heck, Lamech could have gotten this, all of the account of the Garden of Eden and the fall of man from Adam himself. Think about that for just a minute. Adam himself could have told Noah exactly what happened in the garden. And I'll bet Adam told that story more times than we can count. Not to say that God is a hard God, but to say that God is a gracious God. Because God could have killed us right there in the garden and started all over again. Right? God could have kicked them out and said, just like he did Ananias and Sapphira. You remember what happened to them, right, in the book of Acts? Man, God dropped them dead right where they stood. And he could have done that with Adam and Eve, but he didn't. God was gracious, and he provided hope, and he provided a covering and atonement. He provided salvation. And our life so often can feel hopeless and helpless. We feel like we have zero purpose, or we don't. There's no way that we can go on. But let me tell you, God has provided hope, and the fact that he is there and he's provided salvation is enough for us to continue to drive on. It's all enough. You know, even though the curse is still there, death is still imminent, all of those things are still here, but by golly, God is still great, and God is still alive, and Jesus is still our Savior, and he wants to use you for his glory. Even now. You know, we read all these things, and we think to ourselves, man, I sure would have liked to have seen that. Well, maybe. But can you imagine these people in the Old Testament looking forward 6,000 years? Saying, I sure would like to be those people and have the opportunity to tell of a Savior that lived and died and rose again. Amen. And that it doesn't matter that we're going to die. All that is our passageway into heaven if you actually believe it. And we don't have to wait 800 years or 900 years. We don't have to wait. We just have to wait a mere 60 or 70 or 80 years or maybe 90 years and bam, we're gone. We're going to be gone before Enoch was gone, right? Enoch only lived 300 and some change before God took him. Man, how blessed are we that we're only going to live 100 years and then we're going to be in the presence of Almighty God. Amen. If we know him. That's the ticket right there. If we know him. Right? If we haven't confessed our sin, again, if you were in Sunday school this morning, you saw how Daniel, when he was praying before God, he confessed his own sin, the sins of his nation before God. Pray for mercy. Pray for forgiveness. Man, that is the essence of salvation, right? Confession of our sin and pray for salvation. Pray for mercy and grace to cover all of our sin. And God has just brought forth, after all of these generations, he's bringing forth hope. Couple of thousand years after Noah, he's going to bring forth another guy named Abraham. Some time after that, he's going to bring another guy named Moses. Lots of prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel and Obadiah and Micah and Nahum. You can talk about all the minor prophets. Daniel. And then he's going to bring this Old Testament prophet named John the Baptist. And though Noah, a mighty man of God, that did a mighty work of God, did nothing like John the Baptist, who covered in camel skin and eating honey and locusts, walking through the wilderness, shouting at the top of his lungs, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of Tony Blanchard." The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of Alan.
Amen.
We can read this and we can glorify God. We know the truth of the Word of God. It's not exaggerated. It's not a symbol. It's not any of that. It is the hard fact of the work of God throughout human history to come to an apex at the cross where Jesus died for you and for me. Those things were looking forward to the cross, and now we're living in light of the cross.
Amen.
So as we read this, man, we can glorify. We're not living like, you know, like Samson that had moments of power and strength and all of that where the Holy Spirit left him. Man, we are a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit of God living in the power of which his own power. So let's read this and study it and see what it is. You know, we look back at our genealogy to see where we came from. You know, because if we don't learn our history, we don't learn the mistakes of those who have gone before us, we are doomed to repeat it. Right? So we can look at the mistakes that they made and let us not be doomed to repeat it. Let's look at the victory that Jesus won on the cross and in the tomb, and let's go forth in the victory. Let's not repeat the mistakes that everybody before us makes. Let us not doubt the goodness of God, the presence of the Savior, the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Let's look at what God has done and see that we, you and me, the church, are the result of all of that human history. And let's not go out and feel good, warm, and fuzzy and think, man, that's, you know, that feels good to know that. It does feel good to know that. But we have to do something about it. Right? We have to use it. We have to harness what Jesus has promised. Right? He says, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right? He says, and then you shall receive power. That's already happened. We have received this power. We have received the Holy Spirit. Then you shall receive power. You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. That's exactly what Jesus commanded. And we can do that based on his work on the cross, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, knowing what God has done from the very beginning of time, from Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. All the way to Revelation chapter 22, and I forget the verse, where I think it's like 21 or 22, where he says, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Right? We're right there. We're somewhere in the latter part of that. But learn this, what the Bible says about the history of man and what God has done. And we take that, not to say, well, I know what happened. Or I know why they lived, right? We don't use what God allows us for our own profit, our own benefit, that builds our faith, our strength in who Jesus is and in the Word of God. Knowing that it's true. Because if it's not true that Methuselah lived 969 years, then it's not true that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. And if he wasn't born of the Virgin Mary, then Jesus isn't Jesus and he's not God. And again, we might as well shut the door and go home. Because it's either all true or none is true.
Amen.
So it's all true. Because I know that's not a really evangelistic piece of scripture. But it certainly can be, because we see those two themes so far. We see death, and then he died. And then we see hope. Because he brought forth Noah. That is going to bring us comfort in the midst of the curse that God has brought on this world because of sin. So do we choose the death, or do we choose the comfort and the salvation? And as simple as that. So, Sunil, Jare, why don't you come on up? We're going to have just a short verse of invitation. If God has spoken to you this morning, I mean, if God is reaching into your heart and God has convicted you of some sin, maybe God has convicted you of your doubt. Has God convicted you of doubt this morning? If God has convicted you this morning, then you come and you repent, even at this moment. Let God have his way in your heart. So that we don't let the Word of God fall on deaf ears, and we don't let it come back void. Whatever God is speaking to you about, you answer this morning. So, Sunil, come and lead us. What song are we going to sing? 294. So as soon as we pray, we're going to stand and we're going to sing 294. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, this is your time. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would keep us focused on what you're speaking.